Relievers can be a little bit hard to peg, so the differences that we have in our rankings don't really surprise me. There's lower ranked guys that everybody's kind of low on that I'm super high on, just maybe they haven't done before, maybe they don't have huge names. And, you know, I'm sure you have guys like that too. We have, I think, six guys to go through real quick. I'll try to pair them up and speed through them as best we can. I have Jason Grilley at number 7. I have John Axford at number 8. I think both are top 10 closers. You have them at 19 and 22 respectively. When I look at those guys, I see elite strikeout rates that give these guys a boost in value. I think Grilley had over 90 strikeouts last year. Axford's walks rate scares me. He might be another Marmol if he keeps this up. You know, Marmol walking, I think, 7 guys per 9 innings last year. Axford had in the 5s. That's not going to work long term. He strikes out a ton of people. I think it was in the 12 range per 9 last season. So you can get by with walking people when you're striking that many out. I do think that walk rate can come down, though. It's not like he's consistently been at 5 in his career. So I think he'll rebound from a poor 2012. What do you think about those two guys?
I actually like the skill sets, as you mentioned, and I'm really glad that you prefaced the volatility and the differences in rankings the way that you did, because it's not necessarily that I dislike Grilley or Axford. It's just so tough to peg relievers because they're so dependent on the managers having trust in them to close games, and that's my biggest concern with Grilley. He was very good last year. He had a career-best walk rate of 3.38 walk per 9. He was just a bit above 4 the year before. So I have some concerns that that may go back a little bit. He has struck out over 10 batters per 9 the last two seasons, so I think he is a legitimate source of strikeouts. The biggest problem with him is he's a strictly fastball slider guy. Platoon splits don't make as big of a deal, are not as big of a deal in the bullpen. So he can, you know, dance around lefties a little bit. He does have a very good fastball, but if he were to go into a 9th inning facing, you know, 3 consecutive left-handed batters, he might cede a save to a left-handed specialist if he doesn't iron that out just a little bit. He's a pitcher that I like. I like the component stats, but without that track record of saving games, he's the type of pitcher that I worry that if he gets off to a rough start and blows a couple saves early, all of a sudden he's on the hot seat and you hear the media talking head saying, oh, does this guy have the closer's mentality to hold down the job? And I mean, when you're drafting relievers, which I say this now and I'm almost going to have to backtrack a little bit later on, I'm paying for saves. I mean, I love the component stats, and I want a reliever that's going to strike out a lot of batters. I want one that's going to help in the ratios, but ultimately I'm drafting and hoping that I'm going to get the saves with it as well.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest concern with Grilley. If he'd had even a season of closing games under his belt where he had Clint Hurdle's, you know, unbridled support, I would say, you know what? I rank him in the top 10. I love what he can do. I think maybe 19 is a little bit low. Maybe I should have had him in the 15 through 18 range. But I have a hard time putting him in the top half of the closers until he earns that leash, which he could do very, very early next season by just getting a couple saves under his belt. Axford, on the other hand, I loved Axford last year. I had him pegged as a top 5 closer. I really liked the strikeout rate, but as you mentioned, that control was a concern last year. He was bit in the ass last year badly by home runs, and it ultimately cost him his job as the closer for a while. The fact that Ron Renicki's shown that he's not afraid to pull the plug on him as a closer is a bit concerning to me. I don't think he has the longest leash in the world. If he is able to keep the ball in the ballpark and even shave off a few walks this year, all of a sudden he looks like a really good top 15, top 10 closer again. But there's enough questions there that I feel a little bit more comfortable knocking him down. Again, you could make the case for him being anywhere from basically 12 to 22 where I have him. There's just a lot of moving pieces in the closer roles and ranking relievers. It's just such a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that home run rate is going to come way down. If you look at his last 3 years, in 2010, he allowed homers to 2% in 2% of his fly balls, just 2%. So, you know, supremely low. You can't count on that moving forward. In 2011, he allowed home runs on 6% of his fly balls. Last season, 19% of his fly balls went to home runs. That's just incredible. I think that's a small sample size outlier that, you know, a guy pitches 50 innings. You know, sometimes he's going to have screwy numbers like that. I don't think he's a 19% a home run to fly ball ratio guy moving forward. I think it'll bring it down to the 10 range, you know, in the realm of normal statistical expectations. And his ERA isn't going to be that high anymore as a result. So I should also point out I have those two guys at 7 and 8. That doesn't mean I'm drafting them 7th and 8th reliever off the board. I understand that most people have them lower. So I'm waiting to that 12 to 15 range, and I'm grabbing them expecting a lot of profitable upside if they do reach that 7 and 8 slot where I have them ranked. Okay, so two guys that I have lower than you are Grant Balfour and Kenley Jansen. You had Balfour at 9 and Jansen at 12. I had Balfour at 20 and Jansen at 31. You're obviously projecting Jansen to close with those numbers. I figure League will be the closer with that ridiculous deal he signed. I don't know. I know LA, the Dodgers have money to burn, but you know, it doesn't mean necessarily have to light it all on fire right out of the gate. When you're paying a guy $22 million over 3 years and he's not that good of a reliever statistically, I think you're asking for trouble. With that contract, I think they're going to be pressured to make him the closer. Jansen, though, I think he has fantasy value even when he's not closing. He has such a good strikeout rate that he would be one of the better closers in the league if he was the closer full-time. So with that top 12 ranking, do you think he's going to get a lot of saves?
I do. I going back to your lighting money on fire, I think by giving Brandon League that contract, they pretty much did just that. Apparently they have, I believe it's a $1 billion television deal coming through or has come through. So, I mean, they definitely have the money to spend. And I think that almost speaks to my argument for Jansen saving games. With as much money as they've spent this offseason, expectations are as high as ever. I think if League comes out of the gate and blows a couple saves early, I think even if he doesn't and he has some rocky saves under his belt and Jansen just comes out and does what he's done the last few years, I mean, I could easily see him taking that job early in the season, a la what he did last year to Javi Guerra. But basically, if he were to start the year as a closer, we'd be talking about him as a top five closer.
Right.
In 145 and two-thirds innings pitched in his big league career, he has a strikeout per nine rate of 14.58, 2.22 ERA, and a 0.95 WHIP. Those are Craig Kimbrel numbers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a case where I know I talked about paying for saves earlier. I think this is me expecting him to get the saves and being willing to take that chance that, you know what, if he doesn't, he's going to be an absolute dynamite reliever for ratios. But I think he's going to get them anyway. So, I again, it's funny you should mention that you have Grilly and Axford ranked 7 and 8, but you won't draft him there. That's about where my feeling is with Jansen. I have him ranked 12th. It doesn't mean that he's going to be – that I think he should be the 12th reliever off the board. I think the fact that there are questions about him saving games this year means that he's a guy that you can wait a little bit longer on and grab and just wait out the impending Brandon League blow up. And then you have yourself a nice little closer there in Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If Brandon League blows up, the Dodgers might go out and trade for Jonathan Papelbon and pay that money. You know, they all bets are off with the Dodgers, except that they are willing to spend money. So don't count anything out with them. But yeah, if Jansen ends up in the closer, he's an automatic buy. If he's on your watch list, if he's a free agent in your league and you hear rumblings he might close, pick him up right away because he could be a top five guy if he's getting saves. The other guy, you know, I mentioned is Grant Balfour. How concerned are you about the knee surgery?
Not very. It sounds like he should have time to throw before opening day and maybe he misses a couple games early. I don't think he's going to end up starting the season on the disabled list or anything like that. If it were an elbow or a shoulder, I'd be very concerned, but it's not. The other thing with him is I'm not as concerned about the guys behind him as others may be. I don't think Ryan Cook or Sean Doolittle are just waiting in the wings to supplant him. Belfort's been outstanding for four of the last 5 years. His 2.53 ERA last year was his worst since 2009. And, I mean, 2.53 ERA is obviously nothing to balk at. He's very good. He strikes out a little less than a batter per inning, and his fly ball batted ball profile fits his ballpark well. He only blew two saves last year, which I think will keep him in good graces with the club and will give him a little bit longer leash should he struggle coming off of the knee surgery early. And I think that consistency through his career and the fact that he has that 1 year of closing under his belt, or I guess it was more like three quarters of a year closing under his belt since there was that brief period where Cook was closing games. I believe in him. I believe in the Belfort rage.
I disagree with your assessment with Cook and Doolittle. I think they could push him out of the role. I don't think there's anything wrong with Balfour from a skills standpoint. He's 35 years old. He has that knee surgery. It might not affect him on the mound, but it's still, you have to have lingering concerns about it. Cook had a phenomenal year last year, aside basically from the short time he was the closer. Like, that was the one time that he wasn't amazing. But the rest of the year, his numbers were just as good as Balfour for the most part. Doolittle's a guy that has a lot of sleeper potential that everybody like. I don't necessarily think that Balfour's job is as safe as other guys in the top 20 area. So that's my only concern with him. Love the skills, but there's similarly skilled, high-skill pitchers in that bullpen also. So I wouldn't invest too high in him. If you can get him at value and expect, I think you had a ninth, if you can expect that kind of value by getting him in the 15-16 range, cool, I'm okay with that. But, I just think there's too many cooks in the kitchen in this case. The next guy is Joel Hanrahan. You had him at number 13. I have him at 23. He didn't pitch all that well last year despite his solid strikeout rate. He had just a 225 BABIP, but 60 points lower than his previous career low. Not even his average numbers, just his previous career low. He beat that by 60 points on batting average on balls in play. If he regresses to his mean there, you're going to see his ratios shoot up considerably. I also don't know that he's a good fit for that team and those fans. I could see him, his personality-wise, just flaming out early. They have guys in that pen that can step up. Andrew Bailey didn't really get a fair shake at the closer role, I think, with his time in Boston. I think he could step back into the role if Hanrahan struggles early on with that regression. What do you see when you put him at 13?
To me, Hanrahan is Jason Grilly-like with a little bit longer track record. He has, and by a little bit longer, I mean having a track record. Grilly has basically no closer experience, where Hanrahan has 2 years of experience with the Pirates and a little bit of experience with the Nationals previously. You could be perfectly correct with Boston not suiting him well. His walk rate last year was ugly, but he really had his numbers pulled down dramatically by just an ugly, ugly September. He still misses bats at a high rate, which I like a lot. And I guess I'm not as concerned with Bailey because I always felt like Bailey was a bit of a product of pitching it in Oakland and his friendly ballpark. He does have the closer experience, so Hanrahan doesn't have the longest leash in the world, but I do think he has a little bit more than some expect. But I think this is going to be a case of neither of us is going to get the other one convinced on the other's ranking.
Well, if I'll give you a stat, and if that doesn't convince you, then I'll give up. He had a high strikeout ratio, like you said, but strikeouts per walks was under 2. I think it was at 1.9 last year. So despite, the low 2.72 ERA, when you have a 1.9 strikeout to walk ratio, that's not good for a starter, much less a reliever. Relievers, you want 2.5 minimum. So that stat to me just screams stay away. It screams, this guy might not have the job very long. Did that convince you?
Well, he'd had 3.81 K to walk in 2011 and a 3.85 in 2010. I guess for me, for those that are in the pro Axford camp as you are, I think you almost have to expect that Hanrahan's going to improve in the walk rate much the same way as Axford is going to. I guess I'd be curious to hear why you think Axford's going to improve but Hanrahan isn't.
Well, Axford also has a higher strikeout rate. So even with that 5 walk, I think he had a 2.4, 2.5, right about that base level that you want. It wasn't quite as low. I don't know. I think we will just agree to disagree on Hanrahan. I could see Axford being better, obviously, because where I ranked him, but, you know, they could be equal. I don't know. I'm just not a huge Hanrahan backer. One other guy to talk about, and that's Casey Jansen. I had him at 15, while you have him at 28. He was fantastic as the team's closer last year. He combined a 9.5 strikeout per nine ratio with a 1.6 walk per nine ratio. Even if he regresses to what he did in 2011, that still means 8.6 strikeout to nine and 2.3 walks. Those are still pretty elite numbers. I don't see any reason to yank him from that role in favor of Santos when he's pitching like he did last year. But when you have him at 28, I kind of think that you think Santos ends up with a significant amount of saves. Is that what you think?
Pretty much. I love the skill set with Jansen. As you said, he's been outstanding the last 2 years and was solid in 2010. The skills are there, but I just – that's another team that made big splashes this offseason where if Jansen were to scuffle early, I think the presence of Santos would make it very tough for him to hold on to that job. He may be stuck looking over his shoulder at that point. He also had minor offseason surgery on his shoulder, which worries me a little bit. He's a bit behind right now, and he may not be ready for the start of the year. GM Alex Anthopoulos and manager John Gibbons are saying all the right things, saying he's the man for the job. But again, if he has a couple rough outings or he just doesn't look as sharp coming back from his shoulder surgery that he had in November, then I just wonder how long they'll ride that out before pulling the plug and going to Santos. Again, I love the skills. I think that your ranking is very fair if you have no concerns of Santos supplanting him at any point or even siphoning off a few saves. But I think that the presence of Santos makes me just a little weary of drafting Jansen as anything other than maybe my third closer.
Well, I'm going to have to commend you for throwing out Anthopoulos' names. You didn't have to try to tackle that name, and you did. So you get a gold star for that one.
if I hadn't heard it so many times on MLB Network, I'd probably have just referred to him as the general manager of the Blue Jays. But I felt pretty confident in throwing it out there. So
okay, now it's my turn to butcher a name because we're going to move on to sleepers. And my sleeper at reliever is Kyuji Fujikawa, which I hope is right. Obviously, I haven't seen him play for the Cubs yet because, you know, he just came over from overseas. Marmol's the nominal closer in Chicago, but Fujikawa's proven, even if he's not proven stateside. He's a proven, you know, quality reliever, and I don't think Marmol has a long leash at this point. I don't care how many guys you strike out and how high your strikeout rate is. You can't walk 7.3 guys per nine innings. That's just not going to get it done, not only in the closer role, but as a major league pitcher. You just can't do
that. Let me get this straight. You're saying that you can't walk around a batter an inning and have success for a sustainable period of time. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, I'm going to go on record as saying that a guy that walks close to a batter per inning can't have sustainable success.
All right.
You can quote me on that. the Cubs realize that you know, they have a smart GM now. Not that they didn't have smart guys before, but, you know, we know Theo Epstein's track record. That's why they go out and get a guy like Fujikawa, a guy that has that closer experience overseas. I think they're going to make a change after one of those vintage Marmol walkathon performances where he allows one hit and then three walks, walks a batter in. They pull him out in favor of whoever they decide to put in, whoever's fresh. Fujikawa probably would have pitched the eighth inning in that respect. And then the next day they announced that he's out of the role and Fujikawa is the new closer. So I could see that happening in April, by the end of April. I think if you go into May, it's definitely going to happen. And Marmol will be done talking about. It's a fantasy upside guy for the rest of our lives, and we can anoint Fujikawa as the closer. What do you think about him?
I like your pick of Fujikawa because I have no faith in Marmol either. I think what the Cubs would like to see is Marmol get a month or two of solid closing under his belt and flip him for anything. I think that that may prove wishful thinking, as you do. It would not surprise me to see Marmol put together a couple of these performances where he goes out and just walks the world and has to be yanked out of the game to a chorus of boos from the Wrigley faithful. And I think on top of the numbers with Fujikawa, from what I've read, it's not a case of him just fooling hitters or getting away with pitching to lesser hitters in another league. There's legitimately something there that he has a good arm and that his success can translate. Maybe not exactly like a carbon copy of what he did in Japan to the States, but that he has a late inning profile, and I think a late inning profile will be good enough to eventually take over that role for Marmol.
Mm-hmm. So who's your sleeper?
Mine is Josh Fields, which the Rule 5 used to have a little bit more excitement. You know, guys like Joaquin Soria, Josh Hamilton, and Johan Santana were all Rule 5 picks. Since they've changed the rules, it's a little bit tougher to find a diamond in the rough. But I think Fields could be that guy. He went pick 1-1 to the Astros. He had a strong showing in the Red Sox organization last year in AA and AAA, after struggling as a Mariners prospect for a while. Control issues have plagued him. He had some control issues in Winter League ball, but they weren't enough to prevent the Astros from selecting him. Right now, he is in the closer conversation, but Jose Veras is expected to be the closer on opening day for the Astros. He has a history of issues with walks. It wouldn't be surprising to see himself see him blow up and lose the job should he break camp as the closer. And there are just a lot of moving pieces at the back end of that Astros bullpen. So Fields to me is a guy to keep an eye on. He's a guy that you could legitimately not draft and put on a watch list and probably still get to after he's anointed the closer, almost in a Wilton Lopez sort of way last year, just because the Astros are just not terribly relevant. But the truth is, and good fantasy gamers know this, saves count wherever they come from, and good fantasy players can be found on bad teams. And like I said, I don't think Fields breaks camp as the closer with the Astros, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him nail down some saves. Spring training, I don't put a lot of stock into the numbers, but he is a guy that I am going to watch. If he does have issues with control, you could probably just knock him off the board. But if he doesn't, I at least give him a puncher's chance of claiming that role at some point this year.
Yeah, he had a 78-18 strikeout-to-walk ratio in the minors. Pretty good. I mean, if you're looking for a guy at Rule 5, you know, with the rules at Rule 5, you want to keep him on the 25-man roster if you're going to keep him long-term. And a bullpen arm, that's something you can do. You can stick him in as your 6th or 7th bullpen guy and keep him on your major league roster and not have to return him to his previous team. I agree, Jose Veras isn't much of a plan A. I think when you're drafting fantasy closers, he's going to be the last one off the board. If he gets drafted at all, because we still don't know, even though he's the favorite for saves, we don't know how the bullpen shakes out there. So yeah, Fields could be the perfect marriage of skill and opportunity. He's not highly skilled. He's not on a great team, but you take saves wherever you could take them. And he could certainly get to 25 or 30 saves this year if he gets instilled as the closer pretty quickly.
I'd like to add, because I did forget to mention it, that Fields isn't the type of guy that's been getting by on deception either. He's another guy like Fujikawa that has the stuff for a late inning role. He throws a mid to upper 90s fastball, and when he's throwing it right, he has a power curveball that's a swing and miss option. So this is a case of the numbers actually supporting the stuff and not just a deceptive guy that's getting away with fooling minor league hitters or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it's time to move on to our busts, a top 10 closer that, according to Fantasy Pros ECR, that we don't think is going to finish in the top 10. We think it's going to be a bust. And we both came up with the same name. I think it's the only name that everyone can come up with. And that's Baltimore closer Jim Johnson. It boggles my mind anybody can really put him in the top 10 when he struck out 5.4 batters per 9 innings. Fine, he had 51 saves. That's great. But, you know, the Orioles were insane in one-run games. They delivered him so many opportunities. Is he going to get that many opportunities again? I doubt it. even if he did, is he going to continue to post a BABIP with a good BABIP with so many balls in play? I don't think so. I barely think he's top 20, to be honest. I think there's guys in that bullpen that could emerge as solid closers. I think 50 saves is, if you're drafting for those 51 saves from last year, I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
I think if you're drafting any closer for 50 saves, you're out of your mind. Yeah. But in the case of Johnson, he needs those saves because, as you pointed out, he doesn't strike batters out. So you absolutely – he's completely dependent on saves for value. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think Darren O'Day might emerge. You know, he had a great strikeout-to-walk ratio. I definitely – if people are going to draft Johnson as a top 10 closer, I'm not owning him in any teams. If they dropped him as a top 20 guy, I probably won't own him on any teams. I'm just completely stay away from Johnson. Okay, so I think that's going to wrap it up. We've went through all the positions. We've put it together a massive podcast. We're planning to come back to you guys on the in the regular season, shorter podcast this time. We're not going to do something this huge. But I look forward to doing that. We have some great things planned. So check the Fantasy Baseball Cafe regularly to find our podcast throughout the season. Josh, want to thank you for being here with us. You want to remind everybody what you're, where you write, where we can read your stuff at, and your Twitter handle real quick?
Yeah, thank you. It's been fun. My Twitter handle is at BChad50. You can find my work at the cafe on occasion, also at Baseball Prospectus and Fantasy Baseball 365.
All right, and you could follow me at RJWhite1. I'm obviously writing a ton for the cafe. I'm also at CBS Sports. You can check out my stuff there. Josh, thanks for joining me and doing this massive podcast. I really had a good time.
It's been fun. I look forward to kicking it back off again during the regular season.
Fantasy Baseball Cafe.com.